You would turn in your Bibles to the book of John chapter 4. John chapter 4, I want to begin reading in verse 21. John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Walter, as far as I'm concerned, this is one of them scary statements in this passage that we've talked about. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That's a scary statement. When Christ looked at this woman, this Samaritan woman, and told her, ye worship, ye know not what. That's a scary statement. That's a very scary statement. And that's one I don't want Jesus Christ to say to me. I don't want to hear this now. At the present time, not from him. Now, in times past, those words, I believe, I'm sure, were appropriate for me. Now, I hope I am not worshiping a what at all. I hope I'm worshiping him. Walter, I don't even want to worship the truth. Even though I love the truth, I want to worship him. Who is the truth. But this much is certain, before I was given life by the Holy Spirit, I did worship I knew not what. I was just like this Samaritan woman here. And there was a statement in here that I really didn't pay much attention to until just the other day. Verse 20, before this, it says, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She wasn't by herself. Back when I was young, I went to the church of my fathers. Our fathers went to the Catholic Church, and that's where I went. Because that was the only church I knew. I didn't really believe in the Catholic Church or the doctrines necessarily, or God for that matter. I didn't really care about the Catholic Church that I went to. I just went there because I had to when I was a kid. I followed the motions. I sat when everybody sat. I stood when everybody stood. I kneeled when everybody kneeled. And I recited the responses that everybody spoke. I did my part. I went forward and had communion every week, along with everyone else. I did all that, and I was considered a good Catholic boy. So good that I was considered, actually asked if I wanted to become a priest, which of course I did not. And I did manage to keep from laughing when they asked me, because I had no heart in it. That's just where I went on Sundays. I went to church there because my mother thought I should. Actually, I went to church when I was a kid because my mother made me. Or my father made me, because if he didn't, he knew my mom would get upset. And I went to church later on because it was easier than having an argument with my mother, whose house I was living in at the time. And I went to that church because it was the only church I really knew. I knew the rules, I knew the procedures, I knew the rituals. Been born and raised in it. I was carrying on with what I knew. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. This is what we do. That's religion. Because if I had to go to church, and I had to, according to my mother, I wanted to go where I knew what was going on. And I do remember another sermon from Henry Mahan, where he asked a question about where people went to church. He said, most people will tell you that they go to church where mommy and daddy used to go. They go where their mother and father used to go. And then he asked another question. He said, if your parents were heathen Hottentots, would you be a heathen Hottentot? And I remember thinking, yeah, I would have been. Because that's what I would have known. People have this strange fixture about religion that Christianity is good. Okay, most of the time it's not. And most of the time it's hereditary. And if you want to watch it from what it was when, what's his name? John Alders used to come through here. Things have changed just a little bit in what's preached. And it changes a little bit by generation. And it has on and on. To where right now, what we preach here is the absolute very small minority. Where it used to be more of the majority. And it's been in the minority so long that most people think it's something new when they hear about it. I've never heard anything like that before. No, you haven't. But it's right here in this book. Because that's all that's out there now is free will. That's all that's out there. But I do remember thinking that Henry Mahan was right about that. And I think he's still right. Most people are Baptists because mommy and daddy were Baptists. Most people are Catholic because mommy and daddy are Catholic. There are a few exceptions where people get mad and join the Unitarian Church, and I have no idea why. Because that's about the biggest next to nothing there ever was. That's all right. I found out after God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit changed me. I found out after that I was worshiping I knew not what. And I found out I wanted to worship God, even though I didn't know how. I wanted to worship Jesus Christ. The Lord. Now, this is kind of weird because from all that, I ended up in an Armenian church for a while. Well, it was kind of funny because I would go to an Armenian church in the morning for the most part, and then I'd go in the evenings to a place where a fellow did preach a bit of Sovereign Grace as well as he could. And then I left there and I come join with folks down in New Zion, and that was pretty much an Armenian church. But I didn't really fit in. Now, thank God, he gave me Walter to talk to. Or I might have ended up a hermit. Now, we didn't agree at first, but because at that time, I believe Walter was worshiping he knew not what. But at least we talked. About Christ. Now we talked, we disagreed, and then a little later on we agreed. And then we left. With the full blessing of the elder of the church. We started meeting at Brown's Road. And somehow, it's called the grace of God, we all ended up here. And I feel more comfortable here than I did at Brown's Road, even. And right now, I believe I know whom I am worshiping. I didn't once, but I do now. But now there's a reason I did pick this scripture. That wasn't it. That was just basically the little introduction. So I better get to it. Because I woke up Tuesday morning. My alarm clock, which plays a loud radio station. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I do not immediately wake up in the morning. Now, maybe you guys do. You know, rise and shine. Forget that stuff. Okay? I stay up too late. I don't even wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed anymore. Not even on Saturdays. But I usually stay up later than I should, and because of that, I'm a little slow moving in the morning. On this particular morning, there was a song that started just after I woke up. And I'm laying there listening to it. And now I've heard this song on other mornings because they have a tendency to play the same stuff the same time of day until it gets old and then they put something else in its place. But it's a song about a guy who's brokenhearted because his girlfriend left him. Now his girlfriend left him because it's his own fault, so at least he admitted that. And she's found another and he's despondent, which, hey, that's normal, okay? That's life. It happens. It's real. It's corny, but it happens. Little girls will break your heart. Little boys will break your heart. And life goes on. But anyhow, this is what the song was about. The first two lines of the first verse are this. The first line is, I'm still alive, but I'm barely breathing. The second line is what caught my attention. It says, just praying to a God I don't believe in. And I'd heard this before and kind of passed it over. But it stuck with me this time. And I don't know why, but it stuck in my head. And I thought about it while I was shaving. I thought about it while I was getting ready for work. And I thought about it on and off for the last 5 days. And I've come to a conclusion. And it's basically the same conclusion I had when I first heard it and thought about it that morning. When the guy sings, just praying to a God I don't believe in, I thought, buddy, you're not alone. Because this man wrote a piece of song that is truthful. There is an innumerable amount of people who pray when they are in trouble. And at no other time. They had a saying when I was in the army, and I'm sure they still have it today, especially today. And the saying is, there are no atheists in foxholes. Because when people are shooting at you, you have a tendency to take that personally. And you have a tendency to be scared. And then people have a tendency to, oh my God, I better pray. Dear God, get me out of this. Yeah. Dear God, don't let somebody shoot me unless it just wings me and I get to go home. Dear God, don't make me have to shoot myself in the foot so I can go home. Now, nothing against the military. People start shooting at you, you get scared. No matter who you are. And some people are brave enough to shoot back. And I thank God for them. But it does get your attention. When people are in danger of death or pain, they will pray to a God they don't believe in. That's not worship. That's desperation. Now, there's a good desperation. There's a bad desperation. This is bad desperation. This is a desperation you got when God puts you in a hole and you want out of it. You want to be digged from the pit from which you come. That's good desperation. because God put you in that hole, and God will take you out of it. There's a good desperation in the law work, where you feel condemned and unclean, even though God has cleansed you. And you cry out to Him, and He does deliver. That's a good desperation. But just crying out because your girlfriend broke your heart, that don't quite qualify. Dear God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll do something or the other. I've done that. I'll go to church. I'll be good. I'll give to the poor. I'll settle down and not fool around with other women. Etc., etc., ad nauseum. God has been promised so much over the years. You know, if any of that stuff, if half of it had come true, this world would be a better place. But it's not. Because that is human nature. Actually, that is fleshly nature. That's what human beings think. And it is called works. They think they can bargain with God, even a God they don't believe in. Human nature, fleshly nature, has its own thoughts about God. They're wrong, but they still have them. And fleshly nature is always wrong about God. Now, fleshly nature can succeed in the world and understand people wonderfully well. Fleshly nature can, and manipulate people and be a success in the world, and maybe make a lot of money, maybe not make a lot of money, but maybe succeed at whatever you want. But it's wrong about God every time. Isaiah stated it. They have not known nor understood. Why? For He hath shut their eyes, that they cannot see, and their hearts, that they cannot understand. That's Isaiah 44 and verse 18. God shut their eyes and their heart. So they can understand. I still remember that Yahoo Squire Parsons in that little intermittent thing in the verse. He said, oh yes, Jesus even spoke in parables so that all might understand. No, He spoke so they wouldn't. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you don't have ears to hear, I'm not talking to you. And here, God has shut their eyes and their hearts. Fleshly nature doesn't understand that. Most people don't understand that. And most people don't believe that either. Even if they read it. I've read it to people and they say, well, my God's not like that. That's not Jesus I understand. That's right. They're telling the truth. It's not the Jesus they know. It's not the God they understand, because it's not the God of the Bible. Or the Christ of the Bible. Isaiah continued on, 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. That's pretty much higher than the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. The natural man cannot understand how much better God is than we are. Because all he has as a frame of reference is himself, and he thinks rather highly of himself. Because see, in my mind, I can have a concept of God Almighty. And so he must be something like that, Walter. He's got to be somewhere nearby there. No, he's a lot higher than that. He's a lot better than that. And that's inconceivable to the natural man. God is holy. We don't even know what holy means. Man is unholy. We don't know what that means either. God is righteous. Man is unrighteous. God is light and men love darkness. God is good. Man is not. And it's that simple. God is truth. Man is a liar. And his father is a liar too. God's ways include blinding some, shutting their eyes. His ways include shutting the hearts of those he wants to. Man's ways are lies, adultery, and murder. God's ways give life to his people when they're dead. Man without God is dead. God's ways give light to those he has given life. His ways give faith by grace, not out of works, lest of any man should boast, to his chosen people. God's ways save his people, and only his people. Because his ways are light and life and love and truth. This is the God they don't believe in. This is the God they don't believe in. And I believe there are millions, if not billions, of people who are right now, this Sunday, just praying to a God they don't believe in. Jesus Christ told that Samaritan woman, "You worship you know not what." She wasn't alone. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, so that's what I do. Isn't that okay? No, it's not. It's not. Even in a sovereign grace church, it's not. If you're doing it just because our fathers have. She wasn't alone in that false worship. Now, I don't think he left her in that. I think he did something for her. He must need to go through Samaria for some reason. And I think it was a good reason. But that's my thought. But this is not my thought. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is only one Lord Jesus Christ, to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory and honor of the Father. And this is the God they don't believe in. This is the only one, the only God that hears prayers, because there is only one God. There is none other. Who said that? God said that. I am God. There is none else. Now, they can pray to whatever they think. But there's only one who hears prayers. And he says he's not going to hear the prayers of the unrighteous. He's not going to hear the prayers of the wicked, which was the whole point about Cornelius last week. God heard his prayers. So God had to have done something for Cornelius for that to happen before a preacher ever got to him with the gospel. And if you got a problem with that, you got a problem with Scripture. And that's your problem, not mine. Anyhow, there is none other. There's only one God, the Father of lights. There's only one creator of heaven and earth. If those who do not know him are praying, those who do not know this God, They are praying to a God they don't believe in. Paul once preached in Athens in front of a statue dedicated to the unknown God. He said, "This God, this day I'm going to declare unto you, this is the guy you don't know." And they listened to him and they turned around and left. Maybe we'll hear about you another time or something. Still a God they don't believe in. Even though one rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe. I love that statement. Abraham told that to that rich man. Said, "Send Lazarus to my brothers who are still alive. If one rose from the dead, they'll hear him." Abraham said, "No, they won't. Christ's going to raise from the dead, and they still won't hear him. Unless he gives ears that hear, eyes that see, and a heart that understands." The seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord's made even both of these. The unknown God is still unknown today. Now, people will use the name Jesus Christ. I got more pamphlets. I'm going to even look at it. Have you signed up? Okay, that's the title. You can sign anything you want. People will use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a rabbit's foot. People will use it as a magical incantation. Oh, Jesus, and hugging up. Potbelly stove, luckily that wasn't turned on, Walter. He's seen that. While they lay about, much praying, calling out upon a God they don't believe in, to do something they don't think he can do. They call upon God to save somebody and then they don't think he can. I love this stuff. People are crazy. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is my God. He saves whom he will, and he damns whom he will. He's in the heavens, and he has done, is doing, and will do everything he pleases to do. That's the God this world doesn't believe in. That's the God, by his grace, I do believe in. And I want to believe in. And by his grace, I will believe in. Only by his grace. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time, this place. We are thankful for you, who have saved your people from their sins through the work of your Son and your Spirit, given us life and light and just a hint of the knowledge of the love of God as it is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for that. And we ask for more. In his name, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.